grand to be with all of you, old friends and new. And the subject of this weekend has been Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and we've talked about them. And we're going to look at Yom Kippur again today. And I'm turning to start with Leviticus chapter 23. And we remember that, you know, we often say Yom Kippur is a Jewish holiday and such. It means day. Yom is day, and Kippur is covering. But these are the holidays, the holy days that God established in the Old Testament, looking to Jesus. Thank you. We appreciate that. That wakes everybody up. See, something different. Leviticus chapter 23, reading verse 27. Leviticus 23 are the seven holy days and of the year. And reading Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day. It is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation and your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month. At even, even unto even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word. This was a day also that they were to afflict their souls. That is, it was a day of repentance and a day when the sacrifice was made to cover sin. And as we talked a lot yesterday, Yom Kippur, Yom means day, Kippur means covering. It was the day that sins would be covered. And the book of Hebrews says that these holidays established by God in the Old Testament, but they did not totally handle the sin problem, as the writer of Hebrews said, or else we would not have had to every year had a new sacrifice and a new day of atonement. But they look forward to our Lord Jesus, who finally paid for the sins and took care of that. I'm going to turn after this to Leviticus 16, which describes what was done in more detail. Leviticus 16, remember they were to take two goats. We talked about that yesterday. The one goat was to have the sins of the people confessed on it, and he was to die, and his blood was shed, remember, sprinkled seven times on the altar in the Holy of Holies. Then the second goat, the high priest would put his hands on it and confess the sins of the people. And remember, he was taken 3 days into the wilderness and let go. And that taught us that once the sins were paid for, they were out of God's sight and gone forever. So I'm reading from Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16 gives us great detail as to what was to be done. Leviticus 16, verse 15, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Verse 16, Leviticus 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of the transgressions of all their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his house, and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness for the children of Israel. Verse 20, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle and the congregation of the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him and the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man unto the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. Again, may the Lord add his blessing upon this. Well, it was a day of a notice of affliction. They were to fast. Some people, when I was a young Jewish boy, I didn't think it was much a big deal to go without food for a day, but some people thought it was the biggest sacrifice in the end of the world. But I think God made it clear, you see, it was not to be like Passover. It was not to be a fun day. It was not to be a day where we eat a meal and have desserts and eat muffins and cupcakes and do all those happy things. It was the day of the year that we were to realize that there is a sin problem that separates man from God, that brings on wars and all kinds of troubles, and God was dealing with it. And the holy God could not accept unclean sinners, and he provided a way to clean us and have us forgiven. And what a wonderful thing. We see a different system in our justice system. I'm not complaining, but we all know that just recently Paul Manafort sentenced to about 10 years in prison, and everybody said he's made a deal so he doesn't have to go through a second trial. They were saying he was up for 200 years for financial irregularities. He cheated on income tax and on money years ago, way before he met the President Trump, and these things came out. And looks like he's settling for paying them some $1 million back, the government. And but he's going to go, it looks like, he's going to go at least for 10 years to prison. Well, you see, there's no forgiveness there. I'm not saying there should, you know, but it's a different system. If you're convicted of stealing or something, for minor things, sometimes a judge will put you on probation. But we don't have, well, if you're sorry, you're forgiven, and you're clean, and it's okay. But God, in his love for mankind, made a system where we as sinners could be forgiven. What a wonderful thing to be forgiven. And God made these ceremonies so that we would understand it. And again, Day of Atonement was a day of fasting. So it wasn't a holiday where we would cook chicken and turkey and lamb and all of that. Here you see, by the way, what we call the chassidim, the pious ones, and they wear these hats that they wore in Europe still today. And Jesus said a lot of it is done to show, not really because of love of God, but sometimes it's done to be seen of men. And you remember yesterday I had the phylacteries to be seen of men. I'm going to go through for a few minutes some of the technicalities. Remember, there's two whole volumes of the Talmud that give rules for the Day of Atonement. I'm going to go through that for a few verses, then I'm going to look into the New Testament and see some things. But Rabbi Simon ben Gamaliel, and you remember Paul said he studied under Gamaliel, he said, a woman may, on the Day of Atonement, a woman may wash one of her hands in water to give bread to an infant. So she could do that. Rabbi said, if one chews pepper on the day, this is from the Talmud, if one chews pepper on the Day of Atonement, he is not to be blamed. As the Torah enumerates fruits among forbidden, but not pepper. In other words, it says you shall not eat regular food, but the rabbi says, well, it doesn't mention that you can't eat pepper, so it's all right to eat pepper. You see, what they've done often is they've get involved in the technicalities, and we know a lot of people do that, but they miss sometimes seeing the great thing of forgiveness of God or the coming of the Messiah. A sick person may only be fed some food on the Day of Atonement if the elders agree, but he may not be fed at his own request. So if the elders say he needs food on the Day of Atonement, a sick person can get food, but he can't be fed just because he asked for food. Okay? They go through that. The rabbis, by the way, there's 10,000 of these things. I'm just reading about 10 so you get a flavor of the Talmud. The rabbis here discuss if one is bitten by a snake on the Day of Atonement. See? Suppose you're bitten by a snake on the Day of Atonement, if they may tear open a hen for him. The method often for snake bite, I remember I was a Boy Scout, you know, they cut it open and try to take the poison out and sometimes suck the poison out. And actually sometimes they'd cut a chicken open and rub it open, and the idea was the poison would flow out of your body into the chicken. And they say... Can you put a hen on a snake bite on the Day of Atonement? Well, Rabbi Eliezer says first the tithe must be taken from the hen. See, can you in an emergency first aid using a hen for a snake bite, can you put it on somebody on the Day of Atonement? Well, the rabbi said, well, yes, but for the value of the hen, you've got to give a tithe, one-tenth to the temple, and you can't put it on the snake bite until you pay the tithe. See, so they're really technical. Again, they've missed the point. If one sees what appears to be a body covered by debris on the Day of Atonement, they really take in everything. Remember, there's two whole volumes. There's about 1,200 pages on this. I'm reading you about a quarter of one page. What if on the Day of Atonement you see a body laying on the ground covered in leaves? Well, they say, it's agreed, whether it's a Jew or a heathen, doesn't matter. You may remove the debris, but you may not move the body. So if you see a body laying on your way as you go to the temple or synagogue, you can push off the leaves, that's allowed, but you can't move the body, you have to wait till the next day. So you see why in the time of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees dominated, because regular people, they had so many rules, you just couldn't move without, you know, them saying that's illegal and that's illegal. And of course, when Jesus, and they were used to telling people, you can't do that, you can't do that. And when Jesus, you know, healed on the Sabbath, to show that the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, and you could do good on the Sabbath. Of course, they didn't have a lot of rules about whether you could heal on the Sabbath, because no one healed till he came. But they should have recognized that this was of God and holy and miraculous and supernatural from God. They should have really fallen to their knees and praised God. But in their rules, they said, well, no, you really can't do that. Rabbi Judah ben Lachish taught that on the Day of Atonement, one may not save a dead body out of a fire. Now suppose you see a body in the burning. Rabbi Simon Manasseh added that you could profane the day to save a live person from a fire, because then they could live for other Yom Kippurs. But if you saw a dead body in the fire, you had to let it burn. One last one. Rabbi Joseph Ben Helbi taught that on the Day of Atonement, it does not take away our sins against our fellow man, but only our sins against God. Well, that's what he said. That's not what the Bible says. So we see a technical world, but that sometimes misses these things. Now, I'm going to look at some remarkable things. In background, our Lord Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 46, said, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Notice, Jesus says to these Pharisees and such, if you believed in Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He's saying that in Genesis to Deuteronomy, in the Torah, Moses wrote of the coming of the Messiah. And so there are passages, there are types, there are examples that point to Christ. And if prayerfully you study the books of Moses, you will see Christ. You will see Christ. Jesus says it. So we're not wrong to see Christ. And certainly in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham takes Isaac to Moriah, which is really right Jerusalem, where the temple will be and where Christ will die. It's just, remember in Genesis 22, he takes Isaac and he has two servants with him. And they bring wood for the burnt offering. And remember, Isaac says, well, Abraham, Father, where's the sacrifice? And he says, well, God will provide it. And then it says he lays Isaac on the wood. And the book of Hebrews tells us he believed that God would raise him from the dead. Because remember, God promised Abraham that out of his seed, out of Isaac, would spring enough to be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. So how would God, and remember he waited 25 years. He heard the promise when he was 75, and he was about 100 when Isaac was born. How would this come true if he kills Isaac? So it says that Abraham believed that Isaac would be raised from the dead. He believed he would kill Isaac, but Isaac would be raised from the dead. And he put, and Isaac was willing. Isaac was a young guy. Abraham already is, you know, about 110 or so. No doubt Isaac could have said, "Dad, you're an old guy," knocked him over. "You're not going to sacrifice me, or let me take that knife. You know, you're losing your mind," or all that. But Isaac submitted. So in Genesis 22, we have the picture. The son submits to the father to be put on the wood to be sacrificed. And the father, remember, raised the knife, and Hebrews tells us, believing that God would raise Isaac from the dead, but remember, suddenly the angel grabs Abraham's hand and says, "Hold back your hand, sacrifice, don't kill your son," and a goat is caught in the thicket. A goat is caught in the thicket. And God says that Abraham has shown his great faith, and he's going to continue to bless Abraham. But you see, there was the picture of the father sacrificing the son on the wood. But in the case of Abraham and Isaac, God did not allow it to happen. But in the case of the reality of God the Father and Jesus, God did let Jesus die on the wood for our sins and made an atonement. And Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me, and there are passages. And Leviticus 16, the Yom Kippur, also pictures these things. Now, you remember, what is said in all this is in the morning of Yom Kippur, remember, the bull, a cow, is sacrificed to cleanse the high priest himself, his clothing, his family, and the tabernacle. That's cleansed before the great sacrifice. And then on Yom Kippur, it was two goats were brought, two goats. In Passover, it was the lamb. And there the type is that it's an innocent lamb, a bone is not broken, it's innocent, it's pure, it's willing, and that typifies our Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. But on Yom Kippur, they bring two goats, and the high priest prays, Lord, which of these two goats will die for the sins of the people, and which goat will be allowed to live and be taken into the wilderness? And the high priest prays, and the Lord guides him, and he says, this goat will die. And remember, as we said yesterday, the high priest puts his hands on the goat, and there are all kinds of priests around, and the people are praying, and he puts his hands on the goat, and he confesses the sins of the people to be forgiven. And remember yesterday I said, this confession could be 5 minutes or it could be 4 hours. And some high priest, you know, I've been where I've seen people pray. I remember I was in Missouri once, and I remember this woman prayed 45 minutes. I'm not condemning her or anything, you know, Lord, but it's a long prayer. I remember reading that at some of the D.L. Moody rallies, one guy was praying so long, finally D.L. Moody said, well, as our brother continues to pray, we're going to go and sing this hymn, and got it moving. But the high priest would put his hands on the goat and pray, and Lord, forgive us for breaking the first commandment, having other gods before thee. Lord, forgive us, forgive me, for idolatry, and some of the people have worshipped idols and followed Greek idols and all the rest. And Lord, forgive us when we have taken thy name in vain, or taken thy name lightly, or joked about thy name, which is sinful. Forgive us, Lord, when we have polluted the Sabbath day and broken the Sabbath. Lord, forgive us when we've not honored elders and people in office and honored our parents as the command. Lord, forgive us when we've hurt our brethren, murdered or harmed or hurt their lives. Or Lord, forgive us when we've brought out faults unnecessarily and laughed at our brother's pain and not prayed for them. Lord, forgive us when we've not been good to our wives and not been loyal or faithful or our husbands. Lord, forgive us when we've stolen or cheated or said things that we never did, or not paid people honest wages, or did not work hard. Lord, forgive us when we've told lies and broken the 9th commandment. Lord, forgive us when we've broken the 10th commandment and coveted that which you did not give us and which we do not have or should not have. And on and on. And on and on. And it's easy to pray for hours if you do it mechanically. Or forgiveness. And having done that, they might be singing a psalm or such, and once that was done, that goat was slain. And the blood of that goat, the high priest, remember, went into the temple alone. No one else was allowed to be with him. The high priest alone was to bring the blood of the sacrifice. Not many, but it was one. And he went into the holy place, and then beyond the curtain, the only time of the year, into the Holy of Holies, where the cherubim were, in the tabernacle, and then twice as large in the temple. The giant cherubim were there, and in between the Ark of the Covenant with the cherub on the golden lid, the mercy seat, and on the mercy seat he'd sprinkle seven times the blood of the goat, and that the goat suffered the death for the people's sins. And he'd sprinkle that, and he'd say a prayer. And remember yesterday we said it was the only time of the year where the high priest would say the name of God. He would actually say the name of God, which we say sometimes Jehovah or Yahweh or such. And otherwise, they would always substitute Adonai, Lord. And he would come out. And remember, we said that sometimes they would tie a rope around his leg lest he would be struck dead while he was inside. And they'd pull and take him out. And the atonement was made for the year. And then after he came out, they would bring the second goat. And he'd put his hands on the second goat, and he'd pray again. And again, he could pray that same prayer for hours. Lord, forgive the people, forgive me for sinning against you, for neglecting you, for putting other things first, for putting fun first or sin first, and for not being wholly loving you with all our hearts. And forgive us where we've worshipped idols or put things ahead of you. Forgive us where we've taken your name in vain. Forgive us where we've polluted your Sabbath. Forgive us where we've not honored our parents or honored those in office or prayed for them. Forgive us the sixth commandment where we've murdered or hurt people unnecessarily, or we haven't offended them, or we haven't defended their reputation. Forgive us, Lord, in our marriages and where we've been unfaithful. Forgive us or not kind or not done our duty. Forgive us the eighth commandment where we have stolen or cheated or not been fully honest or been lazy. Forgive us the ninth commandment where we've lied. And forgive us the tenth commandment where we have coveted, wanted things that should not be ours or are not ours, which leads to all kinds of other sins. And then you could just pray for hours, and he would pray, and the sins of the people for the year would be on the second goat. And then a Levite would come and take that goat and lead it into the wilderness for 3 days and lose it. You remember I explained yesterday, and forgive me, but since there's new people, but the assignment for the second goat was to lose, that the goat should never come back, because the typology, that which God was teaching, was that the sins paid for by the blood, put on the goat, were now, and that's where we get the word a scapegoat. A scapegoat is an innocent one that is blamed. And the scapegoat, the goat that would escape, would be taken in the wilderness and not brought back. You remember we said it had to be a goat, not a lamb, because we said a lamb would probably be, a lamb wouldn't know what to do. It would be making sounds and crying and baying and all that. And a wolf could grab a lamb in 5 minutes if it was alone. And so the type would be mixed up if a wolf got the lamb. You know, then you'd say, well, our sin's really forgiven. Don't they come back to bite you, et cetera, et cetera. So God made a goat. Goats, as we said yesterday, are sure-footed. And as I said yesterday, too, I've seen goats on mountaintops and crags of rocks where I said, how could the goat ever get there? Goats are sure-footed. They don't. Donkeys are sure-footed. Horses are not. Sheep are not. Cows are not. Some of you are not. You know, when we're older, we slip. When we're young, we don't. But when we're young, we jump on rocks and all that. When we're older, we maybe need a cane. But the idea is the goat would go away and you wouldn't see it again. They're more independent. And the lesson is sins paid for by God's grace are out of his mind and we're forgiven. And what a glory that we're forgiven, and of course in Christ. Now, And of course, when it was all over, you know, the high priest would come back and he'd take off his robes and put them in the temple and he'd go home and it was over. Now, when we jump to the New Testament, it's very interesting as we see, for instance, in Matthew, I'm turning to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. By the way, as a young Jewish boy, I was often told, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Well, you can only say that if you've not read the New Testament. You know, once you say, I am the light of the world, you're not saying, you're more than a regular person. Once you say, I am the bread of life, once you say, all judgment has been given by the Father unto me, the Father judgeth no man, but the Son judges. Huh. Once you claim to be the judge of the world, you're the Messiah. But it wasn't that they made him the Messiah. He knew from the beginning, of course, in the incarnation. And so Pilate says, you know, are you the king? Are you the Messiah? He could have denied it. All he had to say is, I'm not the Messiah. They've made me that. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a preacher. And Pilate went, then the whole problem solved. And the high priest would say, that's what we wanted to hear. Fine, let him go. But he couldn't say that. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was the Eternal One. And verse 12, Matthew 27:12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. And the Pilate said unto them, Hearest now how many things they witness against thee? And he answered to him, Never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You see, Jesus, as the Son of God, Jesus could have talked his way out of the cross. Because Pilate was vacillating anyway. He knew the Jewish leaders were pushing him to do the killing, and he really didn't want to. If he was a righteous judge, he'd say he's innocent. And all that's going on in Washington, a righteous judge has a duty to say the person's innocent, not to hear what does the crowd want to hear. But he gave in to the crowd. He called for a bowl of water and washed his hands, which was a testimony to the sinlessness of Jesus. Jesus did not die because he committed any sin. And in fact, that, I think, is the reason, again, we see in the New Testament at Passover, over and over, it says Jesus was there at Passover in Jerusalem, at the Passover. Jesus was there at Hanukkah, the day of the Feast of Dedication, John 10. It was the Feast of Dedication, and Jesus walked on Solomon, it was winter, and Jesus walked on Solomon's porch. But we don't hear of Jesus in Jerusalem on the Day of Atonement, the biggest holiday of all, because it wouldn't have fit. In the Day of Atonement, everyone, it says, remember Leviticus says, you should be afflicted, you should be confessing your sin, you should be saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, may my sins be on the sacrifice, the innocent sacrifice, the goat, and the blood on the altar. But Jesus could not say, join the group and say, forgive me, we have sinned, because Jesus did not sin. And if Jesus was there, no doubt people would say, hey, how come you're not, everybody else is confessing their sin, how come you're quiet? And it wasn't time for him to just say, well, I'm the sinless one, I'm the Messiah, I'm going to be the sacrifice, I'm going to be the goat, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. It wasn't quite the time in God's calendar So we never hear of Jesus on the Day of Atonement because it just didn't fit. No doubt he was praying and such, but he's never there on the Day of Atonement. Because anybody else, how come you're not confessing your sin? You need to. You need to afflict yourself. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Well, it doesn't fit. But there he was. He could have again talked himself out of Pilate. He could have done a miracle. He could have said, Pilate, watch this. He could have lifted him off the ground, or he could have turned him into a leper and then reversed it. He could have called fire from the sky, and Pilate would have fallen on his knees. But Jesus came to die for our sins. No man taketh my life from me. So he was quiet. He didn't argue himself out of the cross. Matthew 27:15. Now at that feast, the governor was allowed to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they called a notable prisoner Barabbas, verse 16. Now Barabbas, we're told in the other gospel, it was a zealot. Do you know that Josephus makes it very clear the high priest hated the zealots? Because they said the zealots would cause a revolution, which they did in 66, and bring the Romans down upon them, which did happen, and the temple was destroyed in 70. And the high priest wanted to be moderate. They did not want the zealots to start a revolution like the zealots thought they could against Rome. But nevertheless, in this occasion, Barabbas being a zealous and a murderer and such, the high priest said, when Pilate said, whom shall I release, Jesus or Barabbas? The high priest, it says, goaded the people, release Barabbas. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him. Now, remember the Yom Kippur. It said there were two goats. One would walk away alive. One would die for the sins of the people. And here they are, Jesus and Barabbas, the two of them, the two goats. And it's interesting because Jesus was accused of being the Son of God. The name Barabbas, Bar, Son, Av is Father, E is My. The S for the added Greek New Testament. Barabbas, Barabbi means son of my father. So here we've got the two. The one says, I'm the son of my father, God, the eternal one. The other one says, I'm the son of my, his name is Barabbi, son of my father. Well, which son of their father shall we release? The Bible says the high priest was to seek the will of God, and the high priest, they didn't have a vote. You don't vote. Leviticus chapter 16 says God will guide the high priest to choose which one dies and which one lives. And so it clearly says the high priest, Caiaphas, weak though he was the high priest. He says, this one should die, crucify Jesus, release Barabbas. And so Leviticus 16, the high priest picks which goat, God's will, which goat will die, which goat will go free. And then, of course, fulfilling that which Moses wrote in Leviticus 16, which God guided him, Jesus was crucified for our sins, and our sins, the blood is sprinkled heavenly, and our sins, praise God, are paid for forever, and how wonderful, and out of God's sight. Of course, we daily confess our sins to stay in fellowship, but our sins are forgiven. We're saved. The atonement is made. Well, what of Barabbas? Remember, the second goat is taken into the wilderness and lost and never heard from again. What of Barabbas? Nobody knows. He's never heard from again. Josephus does not mention ever Barabbas. There's no historical writing anywhere, any place, any time that ever mentions Oh, Barabbas married Agatha and lived in Galilee, or no, or Barabbas led a battle against the Romans' 12th legion, or Barabbas died when he was old, or Barabbas robbed a place and was killed. He's never mentioned again. He's out of sight. He's allowed to go free. He is the picture of the goat, you see, taken into the wilderness and dismissed. And my, when you study this, you see that in the Gospels, Leviticus 16 pictures the scene in front of Pilate, the two goats, and the atonement made. No wonder Jesus said, if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me, for he wrote of me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the day when sins are covered. And then we thank thee, best of all, for the fulfillment in our blessed, beloved Lord Jesus, who went to the cross, who suffered the pain and the shame and the agony, that we might be forgiven, and that the blood might be sprinkled on the holy altar of heaven, and we may look forward to seeing him come again as our Messiah, as the one who paid for our sins, as the sacrifice of God. Dismiss us with thy blessing. In Christ's name, amen.